You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
School of Humans. Today we're starting the show with a churning vat of piss. That's right, filth heads. Piss. It's foaming at the top, swirling and swishing, the color of a crisp pale ale just poured from the tap, which is not a healthy color for your piss to be. Whoever pissed this piss was extremely dehydrated. Was it me? Could have been. I only drink a spoonful of water every day. I am perpetually dehydrated to prepare myself for the water wars to come. I don't even need water. But actually, no, it's not my piss. This piss belongs to Andres Serrano. He's a photographer, and he peed into this vat of piss to make what some people would call art. But don't worry, it's not just a vat of piss. No, indeed. Submerged inside of it, floating amid the bubbles bobbing in the brine, is a small, white, plastic and wood figurine of Jesus on the crucifix. Serrano set this scene up and sometime in the 1980s snapped a photograph of this crucifix suspended in his urine. And now if you saw this photograph in a gallery just willy-nilly, you might not even know that it was necessarily in piss. But don't worry, Serrano titles the piece very explicitly. It's called Immersion, parentheses, Piss Christ. For yes, indeed, the Christ is immersed in piss. And while this image, if you can imagine, really pissed some people off, but unkissed. That's right. Today we're talking about the arts, and specifically artists who use bodily fluids and other matter, aka feces, in their work, and how people really hated that shit. But unkissed. Sorry. Cue the beautiful theme song. This is American Filth. I'm your host, Gabby Watts. Each week I tell you a filthy story from American history. This week's episode, Jesus P. Christ. The P stands for piss. I will say as a precursor to this episode, I am very skeptical of all fine arts because my sister is a fine arts photographer and also does performance art, and I've seen too many performance art pieces to really take it seriously, okay? If you guys don't know what performance art is, it's very similar to the experience of when a child is like, oh, I made a play, come watch it. And you watch it and there's no story. And you're like, where's the razzle dazzle? Oh, that's it? Okay. Anyway, that's what it's like. But I'm going to try to be really intellectual about this and really take it all very seriously. So let me try to get into my intellectual artist voice.
Andres Serrano was coming up in the art world in New York City in the 1980s.
I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. So Andres Serrano, he was coming up in the art world in New York City. He was finally getting some notoriety in the 1980s. At the time, New York City was raucous and dirty. Some might even say filthy, and filled to the brim with artists questioning the status quo. There's a lot of cool things going on. Andy Warhol's studio, aka The Factory, was where all the cool kids would hang out. Lou Reed and the Velvet Underground, Debbie Harry of Blondie, everyone who was Nito Burrito. And Andres Serrano, he wasn't the only one who was using piss and other bodily fluids in his art. Andy Warhol himself, in the late 70s, released a series of images called Oxidation, Piss, and Cum, where he basically spread copper on canvas and then had his assistants piss and or cum on said canvas. Sometimes they were just pissing and cumming right on the canvas. Other times Warhol would dribble the substance where he wanted it to be on the canvas. And also these assistants, all of them were people who he hired from the local gay bathhouses. One of Warhol's favorites was his friend Ronnie Catrone because, quote, he takes a lot of vitamin B so the canvas turns a really pretty color when it's his piss, end quote. Art is profound. Now let's cue some music where I can do a little art critique, okay? Let's take a moment to reflect on the meaning of Andy Warhol's piss and cum work. I think the meaning is that sometimes you be pissing and sometimes you be cumming. I'm a philosopher. Another artist using bodily fluids was the great Cuban artist Ana Mendieta. She made art with blood. And yes, of course, sometimes she used period blood. That's the whole point of having a period. Though less excitingly, sometimes she would just use blood from her veins, and other times just corn syrup staged in a public place to look like blood. Like in one of her works from the 1970s, she created an enormous puddle of blood just soaking the sidewalk. It looks like it's floating out of a white door, pooling on the concrete before running down into the gutter. And the whole point of it was to be like, how are people going to respond to this blood on the sidewalk? Many people just walked right past it, distracted or simply unfazed. Some got curious about it and poked the blood before moving on. Anna and her sister sat in a car across the street, watching until finally a shop owner emerges from the next door and sprays down the sidewalk with a hose, mopping the blood into the gutter, destroying all evidence of what might have happened there. But isn't that the hustle and grind? It's just another day on the job, mopping away all this blood on the sidewalk. And now back to Serrano, who made Piss Christ. Piss Christ wasn't his first piece at the intersection of Christianity and bodily fluids. In 1985, 2 years before Piss Christ was exhibited, he made a piece called Blood Cross. It's a photograph of a cross made out of plexiglass, and it's filled to the brim with cow's blood. Wow, he's so good at giving precise titles to his work, because it was blood in a cross. Crazy. Also, there was so much blood inside of it, it looked like it was like leaking blood. And it appeared in a series he made called Fluids, because that's not all. He also exhibited an aptly named print called Milk and Blood, because it is in fact made of milk and blood. In Piss Christ, it was also part of a larger series exhibited in 1987. Not only was Christ submerged in urine, he also had some photographs of other religious figurines submerged in his other favorite fluids, like blood, semen, and milk. Honestly, phlegm, sweat, and bile probably felt pretty left out. But despite this vast collection of fluid works, it's Piss Christ that set off the haters. What happened was that Piss Christ was exhibited at the Southern Center for Contemporary Art in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And there it won the visual arts competition, which meant that he won a $15,000 cash prize from the National Endowment for the Arts, the NEA. And the NEA is a government agency, so the grant technically was funded by American tax dollars. The American Family Association, originally called the National Federation for Decency, formed in 1977, was an organization that was still getting its sea legs and latched onto these artists like Serrano, who were making seemingly blasphemous arts. They're like, we don't want our tax dollars going to piss art. That is so anti-Christian. Reverend Donald Wildman, founder of the Mississippi chapter, complained. He held a goddamn press conference to yell about works like Piss Christ. He said, quote, this is anti-Christian bigotry. And this is kind of interesting because Serrano actually identifies as a Christian and said this about his work in a Vice article, quote, I had no idea Piss Christ would get the attention it did, since I meant neither blasphemy nor offense by it. I've been a Catholic all my life, so I am a follower of Christ. But I'm an artist, and the role of the artist is to break new ground for himself and for his audience. End quote. Right. I'm sure he had no idea that submerging a crucifix in urine would make anyone mad. How could it? Anyway, back to Reverend Donald Wildman. His complaints ended up making it to the Senate floor, and six senators publicly denounced Serrano's work. Al D'Amato, a Republican senator from New York, was one of the people who hopped on the bandwagon against Serrano's work. He made a little speech about it on the Senate floor, and he said, "What a disgrace," multiple times. Here's some of the stuff he was saying about the complaints he's been getting about Piss Christ and other pieces of art. Quote, they said, how dare you spend our taxpayers' money on this trash? They all objected to taxpayers' money being used for a piece of so-called artwork, which, to be quite candid, I am somewhat reluctant to utter its title. This so-called piece of art is a deplorable, despicable display of vulgarity. If this is what contemporary art has sunk to, this level, this outrage, this indignity, some may want to sanction that, and that is fine, but not with the use of taxpayers' money. This is not a question of free speech. This is a question of abuse of taxpayers' money.
Taxpayers' money. Blah, blah, blah.
Another senator objecting to the art was Jesse Helms of North Carolina. He notably opposed civil rights, disability rights, environmentalism, feminism, gay rights, affirmative action, access to abortion, and he saw the NEA as a proponent of all those things. He said about Serrano, quote, I do not know Mr. Andres Serrano, and I hope I never meet him, because he is not an artist. He is a jerk. Let us examine exactly what this bird did to get $15,000 of the taxpayers' money through the so-called National Endowment for the Arts. I mean, that's literally what it's called, so I don't know why he said so-called. If they have no more judgment than that, it ought to be abolished and all funds returned to the taxpayer. What this Serrano fellow did, he filled a bottle with his own urine and then stuck a crucifix down there. Jesus Christ on a cross. He set it up on a table and took a picture of it. For that, the National Endowment for the Arts gave him $15,000 to honor him as an artist. I say again, he is not an artist. He is a jerk. And he is taunting the American people, just as others are, in terms of Christianity. And I resent that. And I do not hesitate to say so. Yes, don't hesitate, Senator Helms. Go on. By the end of the 80s, Piss Christ wasn't the only piece of art ruffling some big conservative feathers. It was just one part of a larger culture war. Because there were plenty of other artists not only using piss and Christ in their works, but also gays and sex. Oh, God! More on that after the break.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Now, I understand that doing a history podcast that is set in the 1980s might be an insult to some of you people who were like born in the 80s. I mean, I was born in like 91. Don't tell Hollywood that. I'm only 18. But it's still history. Your life is history. I know that's sad. That's depressing, but you're old as fuck. I'm sorry about that. So yeah, back to the 80s. One of the most important artists of the 1980s in New York was photographer Robert Mapplethorpe. Mapplethorpe attended the Pratt Institute in Brooklyn, where he met and dated the great Patti Smith. Eventually, they moved into a room at the Chelsea Hotel, where a staggering amount of artists resided, like Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell, Milos Forman, Stanley Kubrick, Jim Morrison, Iggy Pop, Leonard Cohen. Robert began photographing his large network of artist friends and eventually started dating only men. He and Patti remained great friends, though. And he also happened to be into some very kinky shit, and often found himself at the Mineshaft Club in the Meatpacking District. And oh boy, were they packing some meat. Mineshaft was an underground gay BDSM club that opened in the late 70s and would only operate for 8 years or so. The building was unmarked. The entrance to the club lay behind a grimy industrial metal door that could only be opened from the inside. Patrons had to climb a flight of stairs and pass a bouncer who would turn away anyone who wore cologne or looked too preppy. The place was initially one story, complete with a scat room. Yep, that's a room where you could indulge in arousal from feces, if that was your thing. This particular room, though, was short-lived because it got pretty unsanitary. I wonder why. Eventually, the club expanded, and they had all sorts of activities you could do there. They had different sort of sets and stages, you know, things that looked like jail cells, the back of a truck, dungeons. And then there was a room that was completely dark, save for some bathtubs that were just flooded in spotlights. What would happen there is men would sit in them, and then the other dudes around them would just piss on them. So yeah, they had everything. Slings and swings, glory holes, tubs of Crisco all around. Crisco was a popular choice before the advent of personal lubricants. Basically, it was a frickin' good time, and Robert Mapplethorpe was inspired. He would bring men home from his nightly sexcapades and photograph them. Sometimes just simple nudes, and other times in very sexual scenes. In one of Robert Mapplethorpe's self-portraits, he stands with his back to the camera, in a leather vest and assless leather chaps and boots, His left foot is up on a pedestal, and he's hunched over as his right hand reaches around, grabbing a handle of a bullwhip that is being pulled out of his asshole. Ow, 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 ow. Of course, laced through this era of sexual liberation was the dark shadow of an epidemic. The outbreak of AIDS in 1981 would wreak havoc on the United States. And while so many people were dying across the country, the Reagan administration was doing nothing. In fact, just making it worse. In the 80s, Reagan made major budget cuts to national health organizations, including the CDC. Reagan didn't even utter the word AIDS until 1985 and didn't acknowledge its severity until 1987, when the death toll had already surpassed 20,000 people. Robert Mapplethorpe was diagnosed with HIV in 1986, and the more intimate he became with his mortality, the more ambitious he became to leave a legacy. And in 1988, the Whitney Museum hosted a retrospective, a very rare honor for a photographer at the time. He also put together a show called The Perfect Moment, a collection of 150 photographs that was going to tour around the country. The exhibit was extremely popular. Wherever it went, long lines formed outside the premieres. Dang, this amount of notoriety for photographs of gay sex? Woo! This also made all those conservative senators really pissed off. They're like, dang, our tax dollars are funding museums and grants and all this other stuff, and then they're just making pictures of anal sex. I don't like that at all. Another big anti-National Endowment for the Arts proponent was Congressman Dick Armey. I mean, that's kind of funny because his name's like Dick Arm. He sent a letter signed by 107 other representatives calling to cancel the Mapplethorpe show in D.C. He called his work, quote, morally reprehensible trash. I mean, I honestly feel like gay sex photos, totally chill. But he did, you know, he did have a few pieces where you could say they were child pornography, which that's a little sus, not really good. But that's a whole other like art critique that there's a whole thing. There's a whole debate about that anyway. So Mapplethorpe's on the shit list, Serrano's on the shit list. But then they all started going after other art pieces, even art pieces that didn't even feature piss or cum or pornography. Dred Scott Tyler, a student in Chicago, put up an installation piece at the Art Institute. It's called What's the Right Way to Display an American Flag? And in it, an actual American flag lays on the ground. It's an interactive piece. There's a little book where you're supposed to write the answer to that question. But in order to get to the book, you have to actually step on the flag. That's right, you gotta put your little footsies on the flag. And that's what made some people real mad. Especially Senator Jesse Helms. The one who hates all the stuff. The Senate unanimously voted that Tyler committed a federal crime with his American flag installation. The Institute was marched on by veterans and the museum received a bomb threat. The governor of Illinois reluctantly signed a bill cutting off grants to both the school and the Illinois Arts Alliance, an arts advocacy group that defended the exhibit. The Cochran Museum in D.C. wanted to stay out of the fight and potentially defuse the whole NEA situation. So they canceled the Mapplethorpe show. And this was the last straw for the other side. Artists and LGBT activists marched outside the museum and even projected images of Mapplethorpe's self-portraits and even some of his censored works on the facade of the building. After that happened, the museum's director issued a formal apology. It said, quote, "The Cochran Gallery of Art, in attempting to defuse the NEA funding controversy by removing itself from the political spotlight, has instead found itself in the center of controversy. By withdrawing from the Mapplethorpe exhibition, we, the Board of Trustees and the director, have inadvertently offended many members of the arts community, which we deeply regret. Our course in the future will be to support art, artists, and freedom of expression," end quote. And the thing is that the NEA was also trying to fight back against all of this anti-artist sentiment. Like in June 1989, the House Interior Appropriations Subcommittee, they issued a bill with an amendment that would require grantors to receive approval from the NEA before awarding monetary grants. Basically being like, whoever's awarding the grants, they got to get permission to make sure, you know, the artist they're trying to give money to isn't producing, reprehensible trash or whatever. And then a month later, NEA Chairman Hugh Southern released a statement asserting that a government agency is, quote, expressly forbidden in its authorizing legislation from interfering with the artistic choices made by its grantees. Basically being like, fuck you guys, that's stupid. But then a few months after that, Congress came back, doubled down, and they passed the NEA's 1990 appropriations bill. The bill denied funding for projects that, quote, produce materials which, in the judgment of the NEA, may be considered obscene, including but not limited to depictions of sadomasochism, homoeroticism, the sexual exploitation of children, individuals engaged in sex acts, and which do not have serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. Though, to be honest, I do feel like homoeroticism has a lot of scientific value. And then the bill also authorized the budget to create a 12-member commission to review the NEA grant-making policy. Basically just to be like, we're going to tell you what to do now. Brah. Mapplethorpe died of AIDS in 1989. And despite these setbacks against the artist community, his The Perfect Moment continued to tour, premiering again in Cincinnati. This resulted in an unsuccessful persecution of the Cincinnati Contemporary Arts Center and its director, who were accused of pandering obscenity. So what happened to everyone else? Well, Senator Helms and the other conservative senators, they continued their crusade against the arts. He started going after independent theater companies and arts organizations throughout the country. Meanwhile, the American Family Association, that sort of started this whole mess, they're still trying to get the NEA defunded completely. What fun, folks. And technically, they are a hate group designated by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And Andre Serrano, his career was basically launched by this scandal. In December of 1989, his solo gallery show was an enormous success. And he continued to use all sorts of blood and guts in his work. In 1990, he exhibited his piece Blood and Semen 5, made of, you guessed it, blood and semen. And Piss Christ continues to piss people off. In 2011, it was on view in Avignon, France, and it was vandalized. Rocks were thrown at it, which cracked the glass and nearly destroyed the photo. But actually, earlier this year in summer 2023, Serrano was actually invited to go hang out with the Pope. He and a number of other artists were invited to the Sistine Chapel, and apparently, while he was there, Pope Francis gave Serrano a thumbs up. Serrano said, "I was surprised to be invited, and even more surprised that he gave me a thumbs up, and I was very happy that the church understands that I am a Christian artist, and I am not a blasphemous artist. I'm just an artist." Every episode of American Filth teaches us a lesson, and I think the lesson we can learn here is that, you know, sometimes your tax dollars aren't going to go where you want them. But from now on, I'm going to write a personal letter to the IRS every time I file my taxes that says I want my money to exclusively go to art made from piss. Thanks for listening. American Filth is a production of School of Humans and iHeart Podcast. This episode was hosted and sound designed by me, Gabby Watts, and written by Julia Kriskow. Theme music is by me and Jesse Neiswanger. Our senior producer is Amelia Brock, and our executive producers are Virginia Prescott, Brandon Barr, and Elsie Crowley. You can follow along with the show on Instagram at American Filth Pod. Be sure to subscribe and review. Leave us 5 stars. Why not? Talk at you next time. School of Humans.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.